All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 31 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. Today's topic is last chance for Europeization before globalization. So that might sound a little bit quirky. You'll find out today exactly what I mean by that, if it doesn't occur to you right away what that might mean. So basically, we're going to be talking about what Europe was like as globalization was happening, as the Age of Discovery was happening. But I have a neat little kind of a quiz type of a map here, a little pop quiz for you guys before we dive into the situation in Europe. So let me share my desktop with you and show you a map. And I want you to try to figure it out. Okay? And I'm going to challenge you here to try to tell me something about this map. So look around. It's an interesting map. It's broken up into panels, right, into rectangular sections that were separate sheets. Quickly, for those who need some help, who knows in which rectangle we find Europe? Just so that we can easily kind of help each other out here. Caleb?
Two middle ones, and it's the one on the left.
Right. Of the middle ones, Europe is here on this left-sided, left of the middle. Right? This is Europe. Patrick, did you see that right away?
Well, I was imagining that that was the answer.
Let's not imagine. Let's understand, right? This here, this skinny country is what, Patrick? Even though the shape of it is a little bit off. What do we call that country? The boot of Jeremy?
Italy.
Okay, thank you. So that's Italy. That helps us to find everything else. France, Spain, Portugal, England. All right, so this is Europe right here. What is this big continent right here? Dana, please.
Africa.
Okay, good. So now that we have our orientation, I want you to look at this map. Think about what you see on it relating to the Americas. Look over to the Americas. Okay, we're going to pay attention to the left-hand side. And I'm going to bring up a map for comparison. A map that has, right, a modern map by the famous geographer named Powell, who has Europe here and Africa over here. And the Americas, right? Okay, so compare left and right. And here is the quiz question. When was this map on the left made? Using the clues on the right-hand side, tell me, when was the map on the left-hand side made? So I'm going to give you a few minutes to look at it. And then I'm going to point out what the clues are. And then I want you to see if you can tell me. So look over here. We know that Columbus traveled in 1492. We know other things happened. So look over here and say, what parts of those were known? And give me an approximate date for when this map would have been made. When would it have been made? Patrick's feeling like he's stumped, so hopefully somebody else can help us out here. Jack says 1580. Nope, Jack, that is not going to do, because if you say 1580, then you're going to say that somebody has been around the bottom of South America, and do we have that? How do we know that it's not 1580?
Somebody's got to help Jack with his detective work here. How do we know, Patrick, that it's not 1580?
You don't see it?
You don't see the bottom of South America over here because they didn't know where it was. Unlike Africa, where they knew the bottom, and this geographer made a bottom of his map. He took the map and he said, I gotta make a little extra room down here for Africa because we can get around it. So he's saying over here, no, there is no bottom to South America. So we're nowhere near 1580, Jack. That one's not gonna work. Okay, so again, going back to our clues over here, can we even be here? Can we even be in 1519? No, we cannot. All right, so, Dana, help us out here with some better guesses.
I think 1492, because that's when they knew that it was even in America.
No, it would not be 1492, because Columbus only discovered this in 1492. They did not know this. They did not know all the surrounding stuff. All right, so, Patrick, another clue? Go ahead.
I was thinking something like 1493 or 1493.
No, not enough, because we have a big South America here. So, Abby, help us out. Abby, help us out. What do we need here?
15,000?
Well, 1,500 something, right? We are not in 1,400 something. This over here, who discovered that? What's that on our blue map? This land that previously wasn't known. Who's doing that? Oh, we got a lot of noise there. Who's seeing that? Wyatt, what's that land over there?
I think that would be... I don't know the name of it, but I know...
Well, who's discovering it, according to the map in blue?
About Frobisher.
Well, no, that's all the way in 1576. We aren't there yet. So either that's Iceland, I haven't gotten a clear map of it, or at best, it's the discovery of Newfoundland by Cabot, at best. All right, so, but Wyatt, did you want to say something else?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I also want to say my date.
Okay.
1504,
because you think Columbus has been there multiple times, right?
Yeah, and also Crabtree is probably, like, not to the bottom of the... of the point yet.
Yes, okay, right. So, yeah, we're after 1504, aren't we? Because look at the shape over here of Mexico. That is actually pretty accurate. This is what these things look like over here, which Columbus has related to the world. And Columbus has been here to South America. And Cabral has been here to South America. So we know about this now. This is starting to get made. But what's funny about this map is that how skinny the Americas are, right? I wonder if you guys can guess, why would a geographer make a map with a really skinny Americas? Why would he do that? Can you think of a reason why he might be kind of tempted to do that, Caleb?
Because I think around that time they hadn't really discovered all of the Americas.
True enough, they didn't know how big it was, but why not guess big? Why guess small? Nice try. No, there was a reason kind of to try to encourage people in a certain thought. Was everybody trying to get to the Americas? Remember what the main part of the story is. Dana, what was going on?
They wanted to go to India, so they didn't care about the Americas.
Yeah, so they didn't want America to be so big. As far as they were concerned, America was an obstacle. It was an obstacle in the way. So they would rather see holes in it. Like this little hole there. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a hole there? Because then you could get past it. Right? So he put a hole there on the map. He's thinking, keep looking, boys. There might be a hole. And look over here. He's thinking, hey, everybody, there could be a really huge hole over here. Go look, will you please? So this map, in fact, we know that it's between 1504 and 1519, somewhere in between. It's after Columbus because we see all of this. But it's not it's before Magellan because we don't see the bottom of South America. And it's skinny because we want to get to Asia. So we want holes. The geographers, geographers make stuff up when they don't know. They do, especially in the age of discovery when they're excited about the possibilities. They'll make a map with a hole in it because they want to encourage people to go there and try and see. All right, so it turns out this map is made in 1507. So if your guess was anywhere between 1504 and 1519, that was the correct guess. There's no way to know based on the rest of our information. But this map of the world was made in 1507, and it shows us what the Age of Discovery is starting to produce in terms of knowledge. Actually, I got another really cool map that I can show you. The map of what the end result was. Where do I have it? Here it is. A map in 1607. With all of the continents and with North and South America properly shown. So this map is not as large as the other one, so the quality is not as good. But in 100 years' time, all of this is going to be known. Now we got two great circles representing the Earth, and they don't quite know about the full extent of Antarctica yet. But anyway, we have this big, by 100 years later, really, it's very, almost completely known. Excellent. Okay. We'll come back to this map. That one is a pretty cool one. But for the time being, what we need to do is talk about Europe and how it's changing as all of this Age of Discovery stuff is going on here. So I'm going to go and see. Now, wait a minute. I don't know if I have my Europe map ready to go. Yeah, I do. All right. So we're going to be talking about what's going on in Europe. So here, this is good. We got 1500. And we got 1522, so perfect. This is the time that we are interested in, right? And we see the Age of Discovery producing, this is me making a map that reminds us of the Waldseemüller. The geographer's name was Waldseemüller. And so this is me reproducing the Waldseemüller map to say, well, this is what we knew, right? And so there's still quite a bit to be learned. By 1522, we're going to know a lot more, aren't we? And then later on, even more, and more, and more. All right, but here is kind of the Europe. What we're interested in today is, what was Europe like while all of this was going on? And as I said, my theme for today is, last chance for Europeization before globalization. Okay, does anybody have a clue why I would choose such a funny title? Why do you think I put the words, there's a good word for this, juxtaposition, means putting things next to each other. Why did I put the word Europeization next to the word globalization? Because, you know, I'm a clever guy, so I did it on purpose. So, anybody have a guess as to why I would do that? What would, if they are similar things, what would Europeization be? Try to think. What's globalization? Let's start with that. Everybody, we need a reminder. What is globalization? What is globalization? Has the word globe in it? And what happens in it? Abby.
It is when the world is interconnected.
When the world, the entire globe, becomes interconnected and one. Okay, what would Europeization be then? It's not too hard. Take that concept, but make it a little bit tinier and more modest. Instead of the entire globe becoming one, we have Europeization. So what's becoming one? That's a lot of clues there. I think Nemo's going to get it now. Europe is going to become one, right? Europeization means we're going to make a Europe. We're not going to have separate countries anymore. We're going to make a Europe. And does anybody know what Europe is like today? What's that called, that collection of all of the countries that are now interconnected in ways that they never have been before? Somebody who studied European history with me last year should be able to tell us, what is the name of Europe today? It is more and more Europeized than ever. It's called the European Union. So Europeization is ongoing, which gives us a clue as to whether or not it worked in the past. All right, so anyway, Europeization. So we're talking about whether or not Europe could become unified while it's going out into the world. Because if it's not, what's going to happen? Wait. Okay, let's review here. Help me out. Let's review the moving parts of Europe. Over here, Patrick, what are our two countries? Go ahead.
Spain and Portugal.
Tell me, anybody, what is the most important series of events that has happened to that area in European history up to this point in our story? What is it that is the story of Spain and Portugal? There's nothing else. You remember, Patrick?
Is it the Reconquista?
The Reconquista. Excellent. So, the war between these Christian peoples and the Muslim conquerors from Africa. Right. Okay. So, we know these people over here. They've been through the Reconquista. All right. Somebody tell me about these people here. Pink and blue. Tell me about pink and blue, please. Why do they have separate colors? Wyatt or Henry? Can't hear you guys. Nope, still can't hear you. All right, try again next time. Nemo, please.
The Hundred Years' War!
Worst enemies forever! Perfect! Okay, so we're starting to get a picture here. Okay, and then the other component of what Europe was like is this funny-looking, I don't know, thing in the middle here. What's that? It's pretty large. And why does it have two colors? Who can help me with that? Abby, what's that?
It's the Holy Roman Empire, but I don't remember the thing about two colors.
Okay, good. So, the big blob of yellow is the Holy Roman Empire. The green parts are actually in the Holy Roman Empire as well, but they're special, which is why they're in green. So, I wonder if anybody can remember, in the story of the messy Holy Roman Empire, who was it that was becoming important? This is a tough one. I, if you haven't really studied a lot of European history, you might forget. And I could go down to the bottom of the map and give it away. But I always like it when if I can see if anybody else can remember it. Nemo, do you remember it?
Brandenburg.
Not quite. Nice try. They're going to come later. They're going to be in charge of Prussia. Do you want to try again? Another Berg. You got the right idea. We're looking for Bergs. We're looking for burgers, not hot dogs. So, Nemo, again.
Habsburg.
Hey, good job. The Habsburgs are in charge of the green stuff. So we've got these characters. They are the Holy Roman Emperors, and they have the green stuff. Why don't they have the yellow stuff if they are the Holy Roman Emperors? What was going on in this strange place that someone once joked wasn't even really holy or Roman or an empire? So it was a mess. Why was it a mess? Anybody remember? I'll give you guys a hint. It includes this down here. And there happens to be a city there that matters. What city is the most important city in Italy, please? Dana, go ahead.
Rome.
Rome.
Rome. And who was in Rome? Who was the guy that everybody looked to who would tell them how they are supposed to behave in life? Nemo?
The Pope.
The Pope. Okay, so now we got this holy, because he's the one who's making this whole empire holy, isn't he? Right? Because holy means having to do with God, having to do with religion. And we're talking about Christian Europe here. Okay, so the Pope is down here. He's having arguments with the Emperor in the green part. So that's why we don't have a united empire, because the kings of Germany, who were the emperors, always had this big argument with the popes. All right, so basically, what do we have in Europe here? We got a huge argument over here. England and France, worst enemies forever. We got another big argument over here. Spain versus Portugal. They both want to kill the Muslims, but they hate each other too. And we got another big argument over here. Popes versus emperors. So, is there a way to turn this into a single Europe? Is this the kind of place that's going to come together? Caleb says no. Caleb says no, but, well, there are two ways, actually. There are two ways to do it. Yeah, Dana says it doesn't seem like it, right? You wouldn't expect that a place like this could become one country. But there is a name for one powerful country taking over the rest. What do we call that? What do we call that when the people of Rome took over the entire Mediterranean? What did we call that? What do you call it when one country takes over and rules its neighbors? Wyatt?
An empire.
An empire! Okay, so we could get an empire! And, well, look over here. We've got Portugal with all of this green stuff here. And Spain with all of their orange stuff. We're talking about people building empires. So maybe Europe could be turned into an empire. But how is that going to happen? That's going to be a tall order, isn't it? To conquer these other countries, how are you going to make an empire? Well, back then, it wasn't possible. I mean, it would have taken a super genius conqueror, one of those very rare characters. Like, does anybody know some of the super genius conquerors of history? Who are the most famous super genius conquerors? Jeremy?
Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great, indeed. Another one? Does anybody know a super genius conqueror who took over all of Europe for a little while? Nemo?
Napoleon,
right. So those would be the two best examples, right? And so, all right, excellent. And then we could have another one. For instance, there was Genghis Khan of the Mongol Empire and Tamerlane of Central Asia. Some interesting super conquerors of the past. Yeah. But anyway, that's what it would take, really, would be some kind of super conqueror. Well, are we going to get one? Are we going to get one? Well, actually, there's another way that you could turn all of these separate countries into a single one. And it wouldn't involve anybody making an empire by fighting wars. Ooh, wouldn't it be nice if you could do that without fighting a war? What would it be? How could you take separate countries with separate kings and turn them into one? Interesting puzzle. What would it be? Nemo.
Joining in by marriage.
Ooh, home run. Home run. All right, let's take a look here at the story of Spain, for instance. Take a look at this. This is the royal emblem of Spain. Now, does anybody recognize these two pictures here? Patrick?
A castle and a lion.
A castle and a lion? And so what kingdom was that? And who was in charge of it? Abby?
Castile and Leon, Queen Isabella.
Exactly. Queen Isabella of Castile and Leon. Excellent. Okay. This down here was the symbol of Granada. And we know that Isabella was one of the two people that conquered it. So they unified it. Does anybody want to guess what this one is for then? Who was Isabella married to? Abby?
Ferdinand, King Ferdinand.
Ferdinand of?
I don't know.
That's all right. Ferdinand is a really forgettable character. You know, he's too eager, right? He's reaching for the key. He's wearing those funny red pajamas, and he's trying to get the key, right? And Isabella looks over there, and she says, "Come on, buddy, you're the king of the universe. You can have patience." All right, so it's okay. Ferdinand is more forgettable than Isabella. But yeah, Ferdinand of Aragon. Okay, so Castile, Leon, Granada, Aragon, right? So we are making a country out of parts, right? So when you look at a royal symbol of a country, more often than not, you see a lot of different panels, and those panels will tell you what were the parts that were put together into a single kingdom with a crown over top and everything is ruled. All right, so Nemo has told us how this is going to work. All right, so how does it work? Well, by the time we get to 1500, Ferdinand and Isabella have married. So we're going to get their kingdoms coming together. And then something pretty wild is going to happen here. Now, I wonder if I can... I was going to try to color this. Okay, give me a second here. I'm going to open up a program where I can color things because it's more fun if I can color it. So let me open up this map to color it. 1500 is the map I'm looking for. There it is. Okay, so let's zoom in. And I'm going to start coloring this map a little bit here. All right, perfect. All right, so we got, and I'm going to borrow this color over here. Hooray. Okay, so now, so Ferdinand and Isabella, well, they did what husbands and wives do. They had children. Right, they had a family, they had children, and one of them was named Joanna of Castile. And Joanna of Castile got married to a guy called Philip of Austria. Aha! Philip of Austria was the ruler of the Habsburgs. So what happened? We've got orange over here, and then we've got Joanna and Philip getting married. Dun, 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 dun. Oops. Actually, in a way, what we want to do is make it green rather than orange. But I'm going to go with the orange. Okay. So all of a sudden, it doesn't really matter, right? It just matters that they are the same color. So now they've been joined. And lucky for Spain... Ferdinand and Isabella had another daughter that they could marry to another king. And her name was Catherine of... Does anybody know? It's a pretty famous name. We've got two kingdoms, Castile and Aragon. Oh boy, that's a heck of a lot of hints. Catherine of... Anybody who knows the story of England knows that Catherine of Aragon became Queen of England. She was married to the King of England. So now, what are you noticing? Pink has become orange. Green has become orange. Whoa! And Spain has a global empire. Are we going to get Europeization? Well, the question is, who could stop it? I mean, was there anybody in this picture that could stop Europeization if the rulers of Spain were getting married to everybody else and pretty soon it's the same family that's going to run everything? That's the plan. We want to combine everything into a great monarchy of the entire world. Yikes. There's no America in that story. Thankfully, this is not going to work. But who can stand in the way? Who could stop this from happening? Any guesses, Abby?
France?
Oh, that's a pretty good guess. Because look at this. In the middle of this orange mess over here, there is a country. And what do we know that that country has succeeded in doing? What do we know happened there all the way until 1453? Jeremy, what did they do?
They built the Muslims?
No, that was the Spanish. So yes, earlier in their history, they deflected the Muslim advance. But it was Spain and Portugal that fought the Muslims. So not so much the story of France. Abby, what did they do?
They pushed the English out of France and made England and France separate.
All right. So the French had a tradition. The tradition was, we are French. We are not you guys over here. We are not English. We are not you guys over here, French Spanish people. We are not like you, you Germans over there. We are French. And that's exactly the accent they used. So, what does that mean? France has always been a country that's very independent. The French want to do things their own way. So, yeah, what we're going to... So this situation here, I have a kind of a joke name for it, because the family that is surrounding France was called the Habsburgs, as Nemo has told us. And they were trying to Europeize, they were trying to Spanishate the entire Europe, right? But make Europe all one kingdom. And, well, France was in the middle. France was the big obstacle, right? If they could get rid of France in the middle, they could deal with that. But France, of course, in the middle was not happy with becoming somebody else. The French wanted to be French. They had fought 100 years war to do that. And Wyatt might remember the name for this situation that Mr. Powell likes to apply to it. Go ahead. Oh, was that your intention, Wyatt? Maybe not. Maybe you wanted to say something else.
It's Henry.
Okay, Henry.
I think Henry's forgotten, but I can tell you.
All right, as long as he will let you.
I would like to tell you.
Okay, go ahead, Henry.
Your joke name for it is the Habsburg sandwich.
The Habsburg sandwich, exactly. So over here we got one big hunk of bread. Another here we got a big hunk of bread. And in the middle we got French, I don't know, what do they like to put? Butter, meat and cheese. Yeah, so, you know, this is a Habsburg sandwich here, Mr. Powell likes to call it. France is stuck in the middle of the Habsburgs. So when we return on Wednesday... And yes, by the way, we are returning on Wednesday. Why is that? Well, because tomorrow is Veterans Day. All right, so tomorrow is not a school day. So we return on Wednesday. We will talk about what happened in Europe to prevent Europeization. Something happened. A very important character stepped in, and they broke off this possibility of Europe being unified. All right, so this is the last chance, and it's looking like something might happen, but it failed. All right, so on Wednesday, after Veterans Day, we will talk about the failed attempt at Europeization. Jeremy, put your hand down unless you still have a question, which I'd be happy to ask or address. Other than that, any last thoughts? All right, well, oh, yeah, Dana, go ahead.
Tomorrow's a holiday, right?
Yes, it is. Okay, no school, no history at our house tomorrow in remembrance of the veterans. Caleb, please.
I have a last statement. Bye.
Oh, yeah. All right, Caleb wants to say bye. All right, bye, everybody.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye.